Hi, I'm Jaime Rodriguez, WPF Technical Evangelist, and today we're here with Mark Wilson-Thomas, and he's going to show us some of the improvements on the tooling in .NET Framework 4, or .NET 4 Framework Beta 1. We'll fix that.
Yeah. Hi, so yeah, great to get a chance to come back again. I've been over here quite a bit recently, so I'm glad to get a chance to show you some of the stuff that we showed at TechEd just a week ago now back in L.A. So one of the things that a lot of people said about our tooling in Visual Studio 2008 was that perhaps it didn't make life quite easy enough like it used to be for the old Windows Forms developers to make life straightforward for them in getting up a straight line of business app that does data entry. Simple things that need to be done simply were taking a little bit more time than people perhaps wanted. They were having to maybe learn a little bit more XAML than they wanted straight away, and they were having to figure out a bunch of concepts without really any assistance from the tool. Now, people did some pretty amazing things with those applications, and I'm sure we're really confident that the first generation of WPF applications rocks, right? But the fact is that we really want to broaden the appeal, right?
Yep.
And so that's what we're about. So one of the ways we've done that, and a number of demos have already showed this, so I'm not going to labor the point because there's a lot of stuff, if you look at videos from Mix and from PDC last year, that will show you some of what I'm about to show. But I actually have some more stuff that I want to follow on with that. So this is the data sources window, okay, which you've seen before. Mm-hmm. It's a Windows Forms paradigm, but carried over here into WPF and Silverlight applications. And here you can see that it's going to allow me to navigate and create essentially mappings between underlying data objects. In this case, they're from an XSD data set, but they could be from an object model or from a service that you've been calling. The data sources window kind of is aware of the schema and allows you to create mappings between those underlying objects and UI objects on the design surface. And it does that by means of, we'll see in a moment, of a thing called a collection view source, which it creates in your application so that you can actually bind to that.
And when you say mappings, it actually creates templates.
Well, it creates essentially data bindings in your application. So you've got this XSD data set, which is a bunch of types. If you just crack it open under the hood here, there's a whole bunch of types that are generated by the XSD designer in this case, but that could equally well be a mapping to a set of objects that were underneath that you maybe have some kind of view model that contains all of your application's underlying objects that you want to surface on the design surface through some kind of UI.
Okay.
So you've got some kind of text and it's in some underlying object. You want to surface that up on the UI. You're going to need to create a binding to do that, but most people haven't really kind of grasped that concept. If they've come from the Windows Forms world, they don't necessarily understand that that's what they need to do. Whereas in WPF and Silverlight, that's second nature to those of us who've been around it for a while, right?
Yep.
Okay, so what we do to make that happen, we choose from the data sources window here, and we're picking, in this case, I'm going to use a list view, but I could, as you can see there, use a data grid. That's the new data grid that's been in the .NET 4 WPF. It's also out there in the WPF 3.5 SP1 compatible stuff that's on CodePlex in the WPF toolkit. But what I'm actually going to do here is I've got my application set up. You can see three areas already laid out. I've got this customers area, I've got the orders for those customers, and the order details. And this is just out of the Northwind sample database, so anyone can try this out on the beta bits that are out today.
Okay.
So simply drag drop here. I've actually built already. If you don't do that, you'll get a nasty error message. That tells you need to build. And I'm simply going to drag out that guy onto my design surface, dock it into place, and it's literally taken every field. Now, I can very easily control which fields I get by selecting here and choosing that I don't want a particular field to appear. But for the sake of the demo, I'd just keep it quick. But you can imagine in a real-world scenario, you're actually going to remove a lot of those because you simply don't want ID fields appearing in your UI. They're not very useful to your user, okay? So I've actually created the first view here. Now you can notice that it's got a nested view here. And what that's trying to tell you is it's aware of the foreign key relationships between all of these different fields. Now that would be equally true if you had an object model with nested objects. It would understand those nested objects and work its way down the tree so that you could understand those relationships. So in this case, I'm going to actually go ahead and use the data grid for my orders. So this is the orders for the particular customer. So it will take care of all of the plumbing behind the scenes that is needed to keep synchronization between the customer that's selected and the order that I'm going to use.
So this is master details now.
This is master details, then it's master details details. So we're going to do the next step, right? Yeah. Because master details isn't enough, right? You've really got to go to the next level. So here, and this is where I am going to use the feature to exclude something. I'm going to exclude that order ID, and we'll come back to that in a minute. But in this case, instead of using a grid, because I'm not after just more details, I don't want another list. In this case, I want to drill into some more details. So this is a true details screen. So this is going to show me one at a time order entries for the selected order up here. Okay? So I simply drag and drop onto here. And this time it does something different. You can see that there's quite a lot of similarity between the generation that you had for the data grid and for the list view. And that's not surprising because they're very similar controls. And what you're trying to do is to create a list of things. But here it's actually created me a small layout grid just to contain the fields that I want. Yep. I'm going to fill it out to this container here. So here we are with our order details grid. And we're now kind of ready to run up the application, see what it looks like. And you can see it's not beautiful yet, but what it is functional, right? Yep. So if you just watch what's happening here, I select a line item, you can see that the orders grid here is being populated appropriately. And then if I select a line item here, you can see these order details are changing along with it.
Yep.
So all of that wiring is already done for me, right? And this is actually a full editable data grid. I can start popping dates and changing them here if I want to. All of that's wired up by default. Okay, you don't have to think about those pieces. But I know that the skeptical amongst you are thinking, well, hey, I've worked with CodeSpit before, right? I'm not a fan of the CodeSpit. That's not a place that I'm happy to be. I can see that it aligns with where you feel, right? So if you're in that camp, and you know, I know that a lot of people are, what I want to do is to try and put your mind at ease a little bit more. I mean, it may not solve all of your problems, but what I want to say is that the XAML that is generated here is not like a dead end. It's not something you can only work on with the tool, right? It's something that actually is a nice extension point for things that you might do for yourself. So you can actually understand the logical structure, and I'm about to do something with this logical structure, so I'll explain what it's done. Up here in my resources section, you can see that it's created three collection view sources, okay? Each one of those corresponds to one of those logical drags that I did, okay? And it's a containment of the data, and it takes care of all of the semantics of update that we need to do. So it's actually already made the necessary links between those three objects to make sure that the update logic works the way it should. When I select one item here, it'll make sure that the synchronization occurs over here. So it takes care of all of that for us.
Yep.
Brews all that up in the collection view sources. And what I'm actually going to do is demonstrate how that works in your favor by actually just adding a very simple field, but you can imagine you could use this for more complicated purposes. Here in the order details, I'm going to zoom in a little bit so you can see what's going on. This is a little bit of subtle UI that you'll see here. I'm going to just create a label, and let's imagine that actually I did want my order ID, but I didn't want it in the form that the Spit created it for me, right? There are a couple of ways I can get around to that problem. I can say, okay, I have a control that I really want to bind to that particular piece of data, and I want to get it right. And in this case, I'm going to drag a label on, and you can just see on the screen here, there's a little tiny black line here, and what that's telling you is where in the stack panel you're going to go, okay? Yep. So if I drop here, in fact, actually, that didn't quite work out the way I wanted it to. So if I just drag drop here, there's my label. Now, I could equally, I can grab a hold of this guy and move him around. See how I'm able to reorder that stack panel?
Yep.
With no trouble at all. Okay.
Nice.
So that's actually kind of easy for me to use. And stack panels are a really common piece of UI element in laying out WPF applications. So we figured it was important that we get that right. But coming back to the point of, okay, I have my label here. It's just a label right now, but I really want to bind it. I'm going to make use of the knowledge that I have of the structure that's been created for me, and it's a logical structure that kind of makes sense, to simply set the content here on this label. And we're going to use the new data binding picker to do that.
Wow.
Okay? So every item in the property grid has the option now to apply a data binding, because pretty much any dependency property you can, or any property you can bind in WPF and Silverlight. So I can now get a tool that will help me with this rather than having to understand from scratch. You know, I'm coming out of the gate, and I need to understand this data binding stuff, and it's hugely powerful. But what I really need is a little bit of an on-ramp that will help me to scale that, okay, and understand where what I need to do. So I hit my apply data binding, and you can see immediately I've got this little browsing tool, this data binding picker. And this allows me to do a great deal. You can see that it's already picked up the data context that's kind of ambient,
yep,
okay, for the particular zone that I'm in. But actually, I want to go someplace else, because actually this is in the outer grid. It's not inside that little grid that was created. So it doesn't really have the right context. I want to go grab a different context. Now, you remember I told you that up in the resources section, I actually had some stuff I can bind to. I can just, okay, I know it's there. And I want to say it's the orders order details view source, okay? And that's where I am. I'm in order details, okay? So I logically select that, and now I can dip into the path, and I see immediately my order ID, which is a field on my selected data context, mm-hmm, or my data source, rather. Now, it's actually of the right type, so I don't have to worry about converters, and it's actually a read-only field, so I don't have to worry about the validation options, but all of those things are also present. So if I'd needed to do a conversion, I could do a conversion here, which converts one type into another in the binding pipeline. If I'd needed to hook up some validation, I've got all the options here that I need to hook up the validation. I can do all of that. And if I dip down into the XAML, okay, which you've noticed I haven't touched yet or haven't needed to touch yet, the good news is that all of the tools that I've been using work just as well there. Okay, so here I've got my label. And you can see there is the binding that it's created for me. Okay, mm-hmm. It's got a source of the collection view source that I wanted, and there's my path, okay, which has found me the correct object.
Yep.
And now if I run this guy, away we go, and we can see already
the order ID.
The order details, the order ID is showing up, right? So what that's showing you is that the XAML that's created is not kind of evil spit XAML. It's pretty reasonably logically constructed, and it's a decent place for you to jump off and start working.